We'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 10. I'll begin preaching there. Hebrews chapter number 10. One of the things that you need to know for certain as you journey through this life is that you need to know for certain where you're going to go whenever you die. You need to know for certain that when you leave this life or if the Lord comes back that you're ready to meet Him. And that is that you need to know for sure that you're going to go to heaven. There's not anything that's more important than having the assurance, the blessed assurance, that you know for sure that you really are saved and are going to go to heaven whenever you die. There are many people who leave this life that simply don't have that kind of assurance. Many people will die in car accidents today in our nation. And there are going to be those who are going to be going to one place that is on their way, maybe to family or friends or somebody's house. They're going to go to be headed to one place, but end up either in heaven or in hell before this day is over. And so for that reason, because of the fact that indeed death is nearer than what any of us even realize at this moment, death is closer to us than what we realize at this moment. We kind of assume that it's a long ways away, that it'll be a long time before I leave this life, but death is nearer than when we realize. And in light of the fact that death is near and that eternity is real, in light of those truths, there's not anything more important than for you to know for sure that when you leave this life, you're going to be in heaven. To know for sure that you have eternal life. When I say know for sure, I mean that you know that you have a biblical-based assurance. That is the blessed assurance, the biblical-based assurance that you can know for sure that you have eternal life. That you can know for sure that you're going to go to heaven whenever you die. Some people are convinced that you never can know for sure, that it's impossible to have that kind of assurance and know for sure you're going to go to heaven until you leave this life. But the Bible tells us here in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 22 that you and I can have what the author refers to as full assurance. I want you to listen to this verse and I want to use it as a springboard to preach to you about this blessed assurance. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 22, the Bible encourages us to draw near, that is, draw near to God with a true heart. Notice now, in full assurance of faith. That is, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The writer of Hebrews, of course, has been writing about the finished work of Christ on the cross, followed by His resurrection, His ascension to the right hand of the throne of God, where He is right now. There is our great intercessor. And because of His finished work, you and I who have been redeemed, who are in Christ, that we have access into the very presence of God, that we can know God, we can walk into the holiest of all, into the throne room of God. And for that reason, based on the finished work of Christ, you ought to draw near to God. And you can draw near to God because of His cleansing in your life. And you can draw near to Him with full assurance of faith. And what that means is that those who are in Christ, those who are really saved, that is, that one of the things that is characteristic of the redemption that we have in Christ, one of the things that characterizes it is indeed that blessed assurance, that is full assurance of faith. Real Bible salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is characterized by assurance. That is, assurance, blessed assurance is a part of that redemption or the salvation that is revealed to us in the Bible. Remember this now, Bible salvation, one of the things that characterizes real Bible salvation is assurance. That is, the assurance that I know for certain that indeed that I have eternal life, that the Lord Jesus has redeemed me, forgiven me, cleansed me, and that He is mine and I am His. You can know for certain that when you leave this life, you're going to go to heaven and not to hell. You can have that blessed assurance to know that one of these days you're going to be in the very presence of God because of the finished work of Christ for you. That is, because of His finished work and His ministry as our intercessor, you can know that with certainty. Real Bible salvation, remember, I'm going to say it again because I'm afraid some of you might have been thinking about something else. Real Bible salvation is characterized, one of the features of real Bible salvation is blessed assurance. You say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I don't have much assurance. That's not the kind of Bible salvation that's revealed to us in the Scriptures. That is, real Bible salvation is characterized by blessed assurance. There are four things that are present in the lives of those who are truly saved, ladies and gentlemen, that give us that blessed assurance. That is, that we know that we have eternal life, that we know that we're saved, that we know that we're going to leave this life, we're going to be with heaven. Those who are really saved We have four things in our life. When you add them all up, it's not one to the exclusion of the other. It's not picking one out of four, but you have all four of them if you're really saved. And those who are saved have all four of these things in their life, ladies and gentlemen, that adds up to blessed assurance, so that you can know for sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you can have it nailed down. I mean, you know that you're saved, knowing you're going to heaven and are walking in blessed assurance. I'm going to name the four, but I'm only going to deal with one of them, as you probably already suspected. Here's four things that everybody who's saved has in their life that adds up to blessed assurance. First, there is the experience of conversion. Secondly, there is the witness of the Spirit. Thirdly, there is the evidence of a changed life. And fourthly, there is the testimony of the Scriptures. I'm going to say them again, and I'll be preaching on them today. That is, there's the experience of conversion. Everybody who's saved has had an experience of conversion. If you haven't experienced conversion, you are not saved. There is, secondly, the witness of the Holy Spirit. There is, thirdly, the evidence of a changed life. And fourthly, the testimony of the Scriptures. And when you have all four of them, you have blessed assurance. So I'm going to preach to you for a little while about this experience of conversion. I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that everybody who is saved has had a personal experience in their life that is referred to with the word convert or the word conversion at times in the Bible. There is the experience of conversion. There's been a time in your life, that is, there's been a time in your life when you experience what the Bible refers to as conversion. We'll see that in Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Listen to what the Bible says. In Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 19, we find that little phrase that is used, that is the phrase that is called conversion. The Bible says, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent and be converted. That is, those who are saved, those who are redeemed, are those who've had an experience as referred to here as conversion. The reason why that the word conversion is used, because it's the idea that I've been changed from one thing to another, that I've turned from one thing to another thing. That is, there's been a change, a turnaround that has taken place in my life. There's been a conversion take place in my life. It's an experience of conversion. That is, if you're saved, you wasn't born saved. That means that when you came into this life, you might have had a mama who loved the Lord and loved you and raised you upright and taught you some basic biblical principles to guide your life. But listen to me now, you didn't get saved because your mama was a godly mama, amen. And listen to me now, you might have had a daddy that was a great daddy and he loved you and took care of you and was the kind of daddy that a daddy ought to be. But listen to me now, having a great daddy doesn't make you a child of God. You might be like me, and you may have those in your family that were connected to ministry, a grandfather who was a pastor. But listen to me now, there's no granddaddy that can get anybody into heaven. And so you may have all of that, a great heritage, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. You got to have a conversion experience. There's got to be a time in your life when God brought you to a point of a turnaround, that is, of turning from your sin and your lost condition and turning to Christ and believing and receiving Him. If you've never been converted, you are not saved. If you've never had a real conversion experience, you've never been born of God. That is, if there's never been that time in your life where God turned you around, turned you from sin and turned you to Himself and saved you by His grace, then listen to me now, you do not have blessed assurance. You're not on your way to heaven. But instead, you're on your way to hell. And that's the reason why that there may be those that are here. And that is, you want to believe you're going to heaven. But on the inside, as hard as you try and as much emotion as you want to squeeze out, you can't find that deep down assurance, that peace on the inside that you know you're going to go to heaven whenever you die, that you know that you're saved. You see, that's what we try to do. And that is, we try to squeeze out some emotion on the inside of us. We try to find a song that maybe inspires us a little bit, or a message or something, to try to find something on the inside of me that gives me that blessed assurance that I know that I'm saved. But listen to me now, if there's never been the experience of conversion in your life, you'll never know the blessed assurance that God's redeemed have until you're brought to that point of real conversion. That is a real conversion experience. You can skate around it and you can look at it and you can wonder about it and you can wish you had it, but you'll never experience the assurance of heaven and of being saved until you've been brought to the point of having a real conversion experience. I use the word experience by choice, and the reason why is because those who are converted, it happens in real time, doesn't it? It's a real experience. It happens at a point in time in your life when you, one that you will not forget, absent of any kind of disease that may cause you to lose your memory. But you won't forget when God saved you. I've had people tell me that I know that I'm saved and going to heaven. I have no idea when I got saved. I just believe that I am. Listen to me now. Listen, the nature of a conversion experience is such that when it happens in your life, when God saves you, when He turns you from sin and turns you to Himself, you'll know when it happens, and it'll be so real in your life that you will not forget when God saved you. Amen? That's right. It's a real experience that happens in your life. It's not something you grow up into. It's not something that just happened and you didn't know what happened. It's real when God saves you, a real experience, just like getting married is a real experience. Amen. I mean, listen to me now. Many of you that are here, you are married and you're glad you are. Amen. Yeah, there's a few of you that are. Rest of you kind of, yeah, but you remember when it happened, don't you? Now, you may be like me, and that is, it's been 31 years, almost 32 years since Teresa and I got married, and I don't remember every detail of everything that happened that day like she does. Okay? It's kind of the way us guys are, amen? Help me out, guys. And yeah, I may not remember every single detail of everything that happened that day. But listen to me now. I remember the day that we got married. And it was a real experience whenever my wife became one. And I'm going to tell you that, listen to me now, even more real than when I got married is the day that I got saved. Amen. Amen. That is, I remember what the Lord did in my life and in my heart. I may not remember every single detail of everything about that day that was going on in the world around me, but I remember what God did on the inside of me. I remember when I got saved. It was a real experience. And do you know, from that day, I had blessed assurance. I had tried walking the aisle and just praying the prayer when I was a little boy without meeting Jesus. I tried to find assurance. I tried to find something to prop myself up with in those days to try to make myself convinced that I must be saved. But I'm so thankful that I had a pastor who preached the word and I had a church that prayed, and the Holy Ghost was moving and began to knock those props out from underneath me one by one until I realized how lost I was, how separated from God I was, and He brought me to the end of myself where I had nothing. I had nothing. There was not a magic prayer that I could pray. There was not a sinner's prayer that would help me. I needed Him. And when I got to the point that all I had was just Him, just His finished work, just His death on the cross, and my heart rested in His finished work, it was then, it was there that God saved me. Amen. And do you know blessed assurance was a part of that salvation? I'm trying to get you to see that the reason why that many people don't have blessed assurance is because they've never had the experience of conversion. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, you'll read about the experience of conversion that took place in the city of Thessalonica. I'll just highlight it for you so that I can say to you some things that I need to say about conversion, about the conversion experience. But in 1 Thessalonians 1, in verse number 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers at Thessalonica, the very city that he had gone to, and introduced them to the gospel and preached the gospel to them. And he's remembering as he writes to them about those days when he was there preaching to them and how that they got saved. And here's how he describes it. He said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." And he talks about the source of that assurance in the next verse when he said, "You became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." That is, that last phrase there describes the reason why they were full of assurance, and that is the reason why is because they were filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to get you to see is this, and that is in Thessalonica, when these folks heard the gospel and they repented and believed the gospel and turned to Christ, the Bible tells us that the power of the Holy Spirit was at work, and they received the word, the Bible says, not only in much affliction, but with much assurance. That is, there was much assurance when they turned to the Lord and received Him as the Lord of their life. And that's the reason why they had blessed assurance. You say, what was the reason why they had blessed assurance? It's because they'd experienced a real conversion experience. The Bible says later on in this chapter that they turned from their idols to the Lord to serve the living and true God. That's conversion, turning from sin and turning to the Lord. And that's what happened to them. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why they had so much assurance and we're filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Can I just say to you again and remind you that those who genuinely received Christ, those who are genuinely converted, have the joy of salvation, the joy of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, and thereby have real assurance. I'm not talking just about an emotion that we squeeze out, but I'm talking about the joy of the Holy Spirit, a living reality inside the heart that was burdened over sin, now joyful in Christ. And listen to me now, as a result of that, there's the wonderful experience the Bible teaches us here, a blessed assurance when you receive Christ as Lord of your life. Let me just talk to you about this conversion experience for just a moment. I want to speak to you about the necessity of a conversion experience. You say, Pastor, I know that some people teach and believe that you need to be converted, and I believe that those who've gone down the road of wickedness and sin, they have a dramatic conversion experience, but not everybody who is saved has a conversion experience. But listen to me now, it is absolutely necessary for every individual to have a conversion experience, otherwise they simply are not saved. Now let me explain to you why it's necessary. It's necessary because of the condition that we're all in. Because of the condition that we're all in. Did you know that it's not just the addicts who are great sinners? Did you know, listen to me now, did you know that it's not those who are in jail somewhere that are the great sinners? Did you know that every person born into this world is in this very same boat and in the very same condition? And that is that everybody is a sinner in the sight of God and separated from Him. That's right. You know, the Bible uses a word to describe the fallen, sinful condition that all of us are in. It is an image called darkness. That is that all of us are in darkness. The idea of darkness is that all of us are fallen creatures from the time that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. All of us who are born into this world are born as fallen, sinful creatures. Now, some folks may go deeper into sin, but all of us are in the same boat. That is, all of us are sinners, and all of us are separated from God. And that is that we're in darkness. We're blinded by our sinful condition. And this sin in us has corrupted us from the inside out. That is, darkness has led to depravity on the inside of us, so that we are sinners in our hearts, on the inside of us. Sin is not only what we act out, but sin is the attitude that we have as well. For example, whenever Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount was exposing sin for what it was, He would say something like this. He would say, you've heard it said in the Old Testament now, thou shalt not murder, but I say unto you that if you're angry with your brother without a cause, that you also are in danger of the judgment. You know what He was saying? That sin is not only the action that we take, but it's also the attitude in our heart. I know many people that would never murder anybody, but they carry a bitter, murderous spirit on the inside of them. If there's somebody that you wouldn't talk to, that you wouldn't want to be around, then according to what Jesus said, you're just as much a sinner as the person who murders somebody. You say, Pastor, that doesn't sound right. It's what the Bible says. It's defining sin for what it is. You know, the Bible says in the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says, Jesus said, you've heard it's been said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, I say unto you that if a man, and we could apply it to a woman, looks on a woman to lust after her in his heart, that he's committed adultery already in his heart. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't want to ever commit adultery, but I have a feeling that there are a lot of adulterers in this room right now. Amen. You see, it's not just the action, it's the attitude. It's not just what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. Jesus said it is out of the heart. That is, out of the inside of us that evil comes from. The truth of the matter is that we're all in the same condition. And that is that all of us are in darkness. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4. As the apostle was writing to the believers at Ephesus, he reminds them of the condition of the lost. And here's what he writes in Ephesians 4 and verse 17. He said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, that is from now on, child of God, don't walk as other Gentiles walk, that is as the lost walk, in the vanity or the emptiness of their mind. Notice now, having the understanding darkened, he's describing the condition of the lost. That is, our understanding is darkened. We're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. In other words, here's what he's saying. The condition of the unsaved is such that our minds, that is, our understanding has been darkened by sin, and that we are alienated, cut off from the life of God. That is, we are in darkness. And listen to me now, that's the reason why we need to be converted. That is, we need to be changed from darkness to light. And do you know that's what happens when God saves somebody? That's what conversion is. That is, passing from darkness to light. Right here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse number 8, here's what he writes to these believers. He said, "For you were sometimes darkness." That is, in the past you were in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. You know what happened to these Ephesians whenever they heard the gospel and turned to Christ and got saved? They were converted from darkness to light. That's right. From darkness to light. Not only are we in darkness, when you think about the condition that we're in, it's not only described as darkness, that is, being sinners, but it's also described as death, that we are separated from God. In Ephesians 2:1, we find that the apostle writes in that verse, and he says, "And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Did you know that as a sinner, you came into this world in darkness? And did you know that you came into this world spiritually dead or separated or cut off from God? You say, "Pastor, ever since as far back as I can remember, I've always loved the Lord." It's just not true, friend. From the time that you came into this world, you were separated from God. Now that's what the Bible teaches. Every person born into the world is cut off from the life of God, alienated from the life of God, separated from the life of God because of our sinful, darkened condition. And that's the reason why you need to be converted. You not only need to be converted from darkness to light, but from death to life. And that's exactly what God does when He saves us. When the Lord saves somebody, He not only delivers them from darkness to light, but He also delivers them from death to life. The Bible says, "And you hath He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Listen to the book of Colossians real quick, just a few verses there. In Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 12, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Giving thanks," Colossians 1 and verse 12, "giving thanks unto the Father." That is, if you want to be thankful this Thanksgiving season, here's what you ought to thank. Here's what you ought to be thankful for. You ought to give thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Did you see that? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated or converted us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Did you see that? You see, here's what happens at conversion. The Bible says that God delivers us from the kingdom of darkness. Listen, and He delivers us into the kingdom of light. From darkness to light. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins." See, we're not only in darkness, but we're also in death. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together or made alive with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Did you know that when God saves somebody, He not only delivers them from darkness to light, but He delivers them, according to these verses, from death to life. That is, God removes the barrier that separates us from Him by forgiving us of our sins so that we're reconciled to Him in a right relationship with Him. That is, we've been converted. Those of you, listen, conversion is moving from darkness to light, from death to life. At a moment when God brings you to the point of conversion, that's what happens. I'm trying to get you to see why it's so necessary, why you need to be converted, why everybody who is saved has to experience conversion, because we're in darkness and we need to be moved into light, because we're dead and we need to have eternal life, move from death to life. Conversion is absolutely necessary because of the condition that we're in, and secondly, because of the grace that we need. You see, the truth of the matter is that none of us can do anything to deliver ourselves. You say, "Well, Pastor, I know that, you know, everybody has sin in their life, but I just believe that if you do the best you can and live the best life you can, that God will take all that into consideration." You know, He's like a big Santa Claus in the sky, and if you'll be really good, He'll give you a gift. You get to go to heaven whenever you die. Listen, here's a newsflash. God is not like Santa Claus. He's not anything like Santa Claus. God is a holy and righteous God. And listen to me now, the only way that you can be brought into a right relationship with God is if God gives you as a free gift, by grace, that is that relationship. And listen to me now, it's not what you do, but it's what He does. It's at the point of conversion that God in His grace gives us everything that we need. Let me give you a few examples of what it is that we desperately need. That is, we need redemption. We need to be set free from this darkness, this sinful condition that we are in. And do you know that in Christ, at the moment of a conversion, that's exactly what God does? He redeems us from our sin, according to Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 14. Did you know that we not only need redemption, but we need reconciliation? And that is, that we need to be brought back into a right relationship with God. We're separated from Him and need to be reconciled to Him. And according to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, did you know that that's exactly what God does? He reconciles us to Himself. At the moment of our conversion, God reconciles us to Himself. You can read it in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, where the Bible says that indeed you, that is those of you that were enemies of God, yet now hath He reconciled. That is, in real time, you are reconciled to God. Listen, we need righteousness. Because we're sinners, and the only way you can be right with the Holy God is to have righteousness. But righteousness is not something that you and I can earn. It's not something that you and I can live up to. We've already messed up. We've already sinned. And therefore, we cannot be perfectly righteous. Righteousness is a gift that God gives us freely at the moment of our conversion. He not only redeems us from our sin. He not only reconciles us to Himself. But listen to me now. He gives us righteousness freely given to us, the righteousness of Christ as a gift at the moment of our conversion. Listen, we need regeneration. You say, what do you mean by that? We need to be made alive. The idea of regeneration means to be made alive, and Paul wrote about it in the book of Titus. In Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, he writes about the regenerating of the Holy Spirit, and what he's talking about this is new life. You and I need new life, eternal life. We do not have life. We do not have the life of God within ourselves, and we need to be made new. We need to be regenerated. We need new life, and that's what Jesus talked about when he talked about the new birth with Nicodemus. Listen to me, it happens at the moment of conversion. At the moment that God saves a sinner, they're redeemed from their sin, reconciled to God, declared righteous in His sight, regenerated with new life, born again, made new on the inside, a brand new life. It all happens at a moment in time. It doesn't happen over a space of time. It doesn't happen over years of time, weeks of time. But at a point in time, when God brings you to the point of conversion, God does all that inside of you and freely gives to you what you could not earn for yourself. Can't regenerate yourself. You can't reconcile yourself to God. You could never be righteous. You say, Pastor, I'm a good person, not according to the Bible. The Bible says there's not any good, not even one, in Romans chapter number 3. We're all unrighteous. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We've all failed and fallen. And that means we're unrighteous. And the only way to be right with God is to have a righteousness that's perfect. The only way to receive that is by grace. And God gives that to you at the moment of conversion. Everybody still with me? How can you know that you're saved? How can you have blessed assurance? Listen to me now. You have to have the experience of real conversion. I've tried to talk to you about the necessity of a conversion experience, why it's necessary, why you have to have a conversion experience. I've tried to explain to you it's because of the condition that we're in, and it's because of the grace that we need that we have to have a conversion experience. But let me just explain to you in the few moments we have left, not only the necessity of a conversion experience, but the nature of a conversion experience. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I want you to understand the nature of what happens when God brings a person to the point of conversion. I like the way the apostle worded it when he was speaking to the Ephesians in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 21. Listen to what it is that the apostle said that he preached. In Acts 20 and 21, he worded it this way. When he was writing about what he preached, the conversion that he preached, he said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Listen to this now. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of message did Paul preach? He preached a message that consisted of repentance and faith. The nature of a conversion experience means this. It just means this. There's been a turnaround in my life. And that is that I was going in one direction and God turned me around in this direction. The idea of turning means there's something I turned from and that there is something that I turned to. The idea of turning from something is defined by the Apostle Paul as repentance. It's the idea of turning from sin, turning from my lost sinful condition, and the idea of turning to something is defined by him as faith, and that is turning to Christ and believing, trusting, and resting in his finished work, what he did on the cross. Repentance and faith. Listen to me now. They're two sides of the same coin. That is, that nobody has ever believed unless they've repented, and nobody's ever really repented unless they believed. That is, you can't turn from unless you turn to, and you can't turn to Him unless you turn from your sinful, lost condition. And that's what happens when we're talking about conversion. That is, the experience of conversion is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that one day your wife caught you doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and you decided to stop doing it and turn over a new leaf. I'm not talking about, listen to me now, your parents finding out that you've been doing something you shouldn't be doing, and after you got caught, you decided to straighten up and act right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that time in your life when the Holy Spirit begins to convict your heart of your lost sinful condition before God. The Bible says here's repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when God begins to reveal to you that you're lost, that you're separated from Him, that you're a sinner, and God begins to work in your heart to bring you to the point of brokenness over your sinful condition. The Bible defines it as godly sorrow in the book of 2 Corinthians, and that is that God works in your heart and brings you to a point of realizing your lost condition and brings you to a point of brokenness over your lost condition. Listen to me now. That's repentance. Repentance is when God brings your soul to a point of brokenness over your lostness, to a point of brokenness over your sinful condition. Listen, if that's never happened in your life, there's never been a time in your life where God brought you to a point of brokenness over your sinful condition, then you simply have not repented yet. Jesus said, I tell you, Luke 13:5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. By its very nature, conversion means repentance, turning from sin and turning to Christ. Did you know that the story of the prodigal son is an illustration of repentance? The whole story in Luke chapter number 15, remember there's three stories there, but the story of the lost little sheep and the story of the lost coins, and then there was a story of the lost son. All three of those stories are given for the purpose of illustrating that there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Check it out, Luke 15, verse 7 and verse number 10. There's joy in heaven over sinners who repent. Here's what sinners like you and I who are in darkness and death, here's what we desperately need to do. Our only response is to repent. That is, to turn from our sinful condition and turn to God for mercy and grace. To repent. And the illustration is given in the prodigal son. And that is, he was living a wild lifestyle after receiving his inheritance from his father, living an ungodly lifestyle. And finally, the Bible says in the story that as he was living out his wild lifestyle, his money ran out, a famine hit the land, and he finally found himself in a hog pen slopping the hogs, feeding the hogs. He was so desperate and needy that the Bible says he was to the point of almost eating with those hogs. He was in a desperate condition, and it's in that desperate condition that the Bible says that he came to himself. And I love that little phrase because it means he realized what his real condition was, and he realized that his father's servants had it better off than he did, and he realized that he had sinned against his father, that he was unworthy to be even called one of his sons, but that his father had everything that he needed. God, listen, he had been brought to a point of repentance, of abandoning that hog pen lifestyle and turning back to the Father. That's what it looks like to repent. And that is when you realize that you're a sinner, when you realize you're lost, when you realize you're in darkness, when you realize you're separated from God, when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and causes you to realize your condition. He brings you to a point of brokenness. That is that point at which you realize that I need Jesus more than I need anybody else. I'm unworthy and I'm a sinner and I desperately need Him. And listen, he got up out of that hog pen and he headed for home. Amen. That's repentance. And that is those who turn from their sinful lost condition and he abandoned himself to the mercy of the Father. He came to the Father and he said, Father, I've sinned against you. I have sinned against you. Just make me as one of your hired servants. He abandoned himself to the mercy of the Father, and the Father kissed him, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, and accepted him back as his son. And listen to me now. It's a beautiful picture of what repentance looks like. Let me ask you, has there ever been a time in your life where God so operated on the inside of your heart that you realized you were lost, a sinner, separated from God, and He brought you to that point of brokenness over your condition, to where you realized how much you need Jesus and what He did on the cross? Can I suggest to you, those of you that are trying to be a bold witness, that the reason why that there are many people who are not attracted to the gospel, who are not interested in the gospel, that is the news about Jesus dying for us, is because they've never realized yet how lost and sinful and separated from God that they are. If it ever dawns on a lost person if they ever come to themselves like that prodigal son, if they ever realized how lost they are and the hell that awaits their soul, if they ever see themselves as sinners in the sight of God and under the judgment and wrath of God because they have not received Christ, if they ever see that, if they ever realize that, if they ever get broken over their lost condition, they will be eager to hear about Jesus and about what you have to say. They'll be like that Philippian jailer. They'll come trembling, saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Has that ever happened in your life? Has ever been that time where God worked in your heart and brought you to the awareness of your lost, sinful, separated condition to a point of brokenness over your sinfulness? I like the picture that Jesus told in Luke 18 of the man who was down there at the temple. Remember the two guys that went down there to pray, and one of them was praying thus with himself, the King James says, and he prayed, "God, I thank you I'm not like that other guy is. Listen, I'm thankful that I'm not, you know, an ungodly man like he is, unjust, adulterer, like I'm so thankful I'm not like he is." And the other man, the Bible says that he was so broken over his sinfulness that he wouldn't even lift up his eyes, but he beat on his chest and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Do you know that's a picture of repentance? Bible says that man went back home right with God, justified. The one who was broken. Listen, has there ever been a time in your life where God broke you over your lost, sinful condition? That's what a conversion is. It's the idea of turning from sin, and it's the idea of turning to Christ and believing on Him. Let me tell you the point at which God brings you to when in the conversion experience when He saves you. He brings you not only to a point of brokenness over your sin, but to a point of believing in the Savior, trusting in Him alone. That is all your faith and trust resting in His finished work. That is when God brings you to the point as a lost sinner, separated from Him, broken over your lostness, that you realize that Jesus, He's the answer. That He paid the price when He died on that cross. That when He laid down His life, He did it all. Everything that needs to be done for me to be saved, He did it on that cross. And boy, when God the Holy Spirit brings you to the point, your heart to the point of trusting, resting in His finished work, it'll be over right then. That is what happens at conversion. I'm not talking about putting your faith in your faith. I'm not talking about putting your trust in a preacher or an evangelist. I'm not talking about the fact that you're joining a church. What I'm talking about is that time in your life where as a sinner, broken before God, lost and unable to help yourself, God brings you to the point of resting 100% in what Jesus did for you when He died on the cross. And listen, when God brings you to that point, it's done. It's finished. And you know what there is? Blessed assurance. Wonderful peace. The joy of the Holy Spirit. Cleansing on the inside. So that you can draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance. Blessed assurance. It begins with the experience of conversion. You say, "Pastor, how do you know for certain that you're saved?" Because I remember that day when He did that in me. Revealed to me how lost I was. Brought me to the end of myself. And I remember when I finally rested all my faith in Him and His finished work. All the wonderful assurance, the blessed peace that came. Do you have that assurance? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your truth, and Father, for Your people and for Your word, and so many who are here who could stand and testify of that wonderful day whenever they experienced conversion, when You worked in their lives and brought them to a point of brokenness over their sin. God, to the point of believing and trusting in Christ alone. Father, thank You for so many, Father, who have stood and testified to that truth in their life. And I pray, Father, that God, you'll work your work, God, in our hearts, that we'll be able to understand how to share that with other people. But I pray especially for those who are here that have never truly been saved, that God, you might work your work in that individual's heart, that you might convict him or her of their lost condition. God, only you can bring a sinner to the point of repentance. God, we know that we can't do it ourselves and that repentance is a gift. God, that you give to us and work in us through the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. That faith is a gift that comes by the hearing of the Word of God. So I pray, Father, that you would operate by grace, God, upon the hearts of those who are here that are not saved, that they wouldn't go on in their darkness, separated from you, trying to prop themselves up, but the Father, that they would come to that point of complete abandonment to Christ and faith in him. Would you do that work right now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.